Something caught our ear at the beginning of the pandemic. We heard that the Metropolitan Opera laid off all of its unionized workers, invoking a contract clause called force majeure, or a superior force in French. And now we're hearing the legal world is expecting a wave of litigation, businesses citing the government closures because of the pandemic, saying that's a force majeure, an act of God. Nancy Kim is a professor of Internet Studies and Law at California Western School of Law in San Diego. Professor Kim, how big is this? And do these have to be clauses, by the way, in a contract? Or can someone just say, oops, I can't fulfill my obligation because of force majeure?
Well, these are a very big deal, and we're going to see a lot more cases involving force majeure clauses. These are clauses in contracts which do exactly what you say, but it will depend on how they're drafted. So if I said to you, the parties will be excused from performance for events not within their reasonable control, including fire, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Mm-hmm. In that case, if the event that occurs is not like the ones that are listed out there, then you're out of luck. But if you said including but not limited to, then you might be in luck. It's, oh, wow. I mean, these little wording changes in wording make a big difference. But even if a contract doesn't have a force majeure clause, a party to a contract may try to get out of it based on another contract defense known as impracticability or maybe frustration of purpose, where when something happens that's unexpected, that the parties hadn't anticipated, they're not able to perform because of this.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Can you just say, there's a pandemic, and so, sorry, we can't do this? Or does it have to be more specific? I can't fulfill my obligation because the government has said that my workers can't come back. And so it's the government order, really, that is the leverage there as opposed to the pandemic.
In most cases, it will be the governmental order because the pandemic doesn't sort of prevent you, unless you're sick, your business isn't actually going to be prevented from doing what they're supposed to do. It's just the concern you have for your employees or for yourself that might cause you to take precautions. And so the governmental orders have been helpful in a sense, in that they've provided companies with something to justify their inability to perform. And so the concern is that when these restrictions start to be lifted, governors should be very careful in how they word the lifting of restrictions. There should be some, you know, cautionary languages. Businesses that are not able to provide the necessary safety equipment must not open, something to that effect. Because otherwise, businesses might be put in a position of having to fulfill their contractual obligations when they're really not ready in terms of having the necessary equipment to be able to do so.
And if the government says that they can open, they lose that ability to say to a business that they were going to interact with, I can't interact with you. I can't fulfill my contractual obligation, whatever it is, you know, buy something from a vendor. I can't do that because the government has ordered me to shut down. They lose that ability if the government tells them to open.
Right, because under most force majeure clauses, the performance has to actually be prevented. And again, the pandemic isn't preventing, unless you're actually ill, somebody from performing, whereas a law or a governmental order which tells you that you can't open your business is preventing you from being able to perform.
Well, that's why in March, after Governor Cuomo in New York banned large gatherings, the general manager of the Met invoked force majeure in their contract with unionized employees, laying off all of them. So these clauses are not just between businesses. They can cover workers who are unionized or contract workers. What other examples can you see of when these might be used?
Well, they're going to be used in a lot of different situations, especially when you have businesses and suppliers, and you kind of have this domino effect if one party is not able to purchase what they had originally ordered. So there aren't any clear good guys or bad guys in this scenario, and it's going to be a matter of assessing who is in the best position to bear this loss that's created. And another thing I think that courts will be looking at is whether or not a business, you know, made an effort to try to meet its contractual obligations without looking to the force majeure as an easy out, because it's not going to be an easy out. You know, it's, I mean, let's be clear about one thing. It's not a situation where the clause should be used, and I think it will not be successfully used in situations where somebody's just trying to get out of a losing contract.
That's Nancy Kim, professor of Internet Studies and Law at California Western School of Law. Professor Kim, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.